Moses was the author of the first five books of the Bible, and Moses is the man who wrote the book of Genesis. And the Lord said to the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verse 46, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For Moses wrote of me." Now, the meaning of this passage that Moses wrote has something to do with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that from the Lord telling us that. Now, when I come to a passage of Scripture like this, I come with some measure of fear because I don't want to force myself on it and give what I don't want to try to be clever. Well, I can get the gospel out of that. And it kind of becomes like that Waldo game, Find Waldo, remember? And you know what? I never found him. Every time I'd look, I couldn't find him. Or any of those pictures where you're supposed to see some kind of figure, I'd look at him, and I never have yet. And I do not want to treat the Scriptures like this. I want God to teach us the gospel from this passage of Scripture. So pray for me. I do not want to simply try to be clever to see if I can pull the gospel out of an obscure passage of Scripture. That is irreverent. That's blasphemous to have that kind of attitude toward God's holy word. So I do covet your prayer as I attempt to bring this message on spotted, speckled, and brown. Verse 25, now late of chapter 30. "And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph." This is his 11th son. And remember, he's been working for 14 years. 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel. They've now been married for 14 years. "And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph," that was her first son, "that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away that I may go unto mine own place, into my own country." He wanted to go back home. He wanted to go back with Isaac and Rebekah and his family. "Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I've done thee." And evidently Jacob was a very industrious, hard-working man. And the Lord had prospered what he had done through serving Laban in a miraculous way almost. Now look what he says. "And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, don't leave. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Now, we see the gospel there clearly, don't we? I've learned this by experience. Have you learned this experience? God has blessed me for Christ's sake. Not for my sake, for Christ's sake. He says, I've learned this by experience. Verse 28, "And he said, Appoint me thy wages, and I'll give it. And he said unto him, Thou knowest how I served thee, and how thy cattle was with me." This is Jacob speaking. "For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it's now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming." He's letting them know all this wealth that you've accrued is because of me. It's because I came, and I've been taking care of your cattle. "And now, when shall I provide for my own house also? It's time for me to start providing for my own household." And he said, "What shall I give thee?" And I love Jacob's answer. And Jacob said, "Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I'm not asking you to give me anything. I earn what I do." Now he has this unusual request And we know from that passage I read in Genesis chapter 31, God revealed this to him in a dream. And that's why I did this. This wasn't some kind of a super way of breeding cattle. Not at all. And remember, the Bible is not a science book. It's a book that tells who God is. Somebody says, how can any of this take place? Well, because God. No other reason's needed, is it? Jacob says, I'll pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And of such shall be my hire. Now, this was the minority. There was a whole lot more white sheep and white goats, and evidently spotted and speckled. There's some kind of less dominant gene. I don't understand that. I've read about it, and I don't know what it's talking about, but it said a less dominant gene can produce speckled and spotted and brown cattle. Well, my hire is just going to be the speckled and spotted and brown. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. After all this is finished, when it shall come for my hire before thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. If you find a white sheep in my group, you can count on it. I stole it. All I have is brown, speckled, and spotted. Well, Laban liked those wages. Good deal. He thought he was going to get rich through this. I mean, all he's going to have is white cattle to work with. And does he think brown, speckled, spotted offspring can come through that? Good deal. He says, Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. I like this. And he was going for it. And so Laban removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now, here's what happened. Laban says, good deal. He gets all the spotted, speckled, brown sheep, and he removes them. There's a separation that takes place. And he removes them 3 days to make sure there wouldn't be any breeding between the white cattle and the spotted brown speckled cattle. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to make money. He thinks he's going to prosper from this. Verse 37, and Jacob took him rods of poplar, of green poplar, and a hazel and chestnut tree. Three different trees. Three different trees. And he peeled white streaks in, and that just means he took the bark off. So all you saw was the whites of these three trees. And made the white appear, which was in the rods. And he set the rods, which he had peeled, before the flocks in the gutters of the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. Now, this is not some kind of scientific method of breeding. He dreamed this. God gave him this vision, and that is why he's doing this. Verse 39, and the flocks conceived before the rods. When they looked at those three rods, branches, trees, the flocks conceived before the rods, and these white animals brought forth cattle, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. Now, it's genetically possible for this to take place. But I say once again, the Bible's not a science book. We're given this to teach us the gospel. So these white animals brought forth, when they looked at those rods, when they came to drink, they conceived speckled, brown, and spotted animals. And Jacob, verse 40, did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not into Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid those rods before their eyes, that they might conceive among the rods. And when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly. He had much cattle and maidservants and midden servants and camels. He became very wealthy in doing this. Now, let's look at chapter 31. I'm not going to make much comment here, but I want us to see what's going on. And Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which our father's hath, he'd gotten all this glory. All the animals were spotted and speckled and brown. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return into the land of thy fathers, into thy kindred, and I'll be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field and to his flock, and saith unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it's not toward me as before. You know, there really wasn't any love lost between these two men. They were opponents the entire time they were together. But the God of my father had been with me, and you know that with all my power I served your father. Jacob was a hard worker. There's no question about that. He did his best for Laban. And that's the way we ought to be for our employers. He did his best. And your father hath deceived me. Jacob had done some deceiving too, hadn't he? A whole lot of it. His name means deceiver, cheat, supplanter. And he was a deceptive man. But he says, your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, if Laban said, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. God caused this. And if he said, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. It came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which had leaped upon the cattle were ring straight, speckled and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, I said, here am I. He said, lift up now thine eye and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring straight, speckled and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban hath done unto thee, and I have given you all of this. Now, how is Moses writing of Christ? This is one of those Old Testament stories. They're just bizarre. I mean, you think, what is this all about? As a matter of fact, when I preached out of Genesis in 1994, that's how long it's been, 1994, I preached through Genesis. And I remember I just took 30, 31, and 32, the whole chapter, and brought them together in one message and just kind of overlooked all this because I didn't have any idea what it meant at the time. And I got to Jacob wrestling the angel as soon as I could. I felt like I could preach the gospel from that. But here we have this passage of Scripture. How is Moses writing of Christ? Well, obviously, a whole gospel message is found in verse 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I've learned by experience. Your experience is the best teacher, isn't it? I've learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. And I have learned this by experience. Any blessing I have is for Christ's sake. It has nothing to do with any work I performed, any goodness in me. There isn't any. Every blessing that I have is for Christ's sake. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now look at verse 31. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I'll again feed and keep thy flock. I'll stay here longer. He ended up staying another 6 years. I will pass through all the flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And if such shall be my hire, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. When he shall come for my hire, before thy face, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, the spotted, the brown, they were the inferior. He picked the inferior. He chose the inferior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen. And we could just as easily say the brown, the speckled, and the spotted. He's chosen sinners. Aren't you thankful for that? He didn't choose the white. Jacob did not select the white. He selected the brown, the speckled, the ring strength, the dirty looking. This represents God's choice of His people. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world. And the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not. They're nothing. What's nothing look like? I don't know. I can't see it. Nothing. What do you have to recommend you to God? Nothing. Nothing. God hath chosen the nothings of this world to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Who did Jacob choose? I sure am thankful for the ones he chose. Now, let me say this with regard to sin. Your ring straight, you're speckled, you're spotted, soiled by sin, inside and out, defiled, dirty by sin. There's never an excuse for the commission of one sin. I don't care how evil your nature is, I don't care how evil my nature is. John said, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. There is never an excuse for sin. Grace is never an excuse for sin. Now, what the Lord thinks about sin is sin in the cross. That shows the infinite evil of sin. You and I don't really see that, but God does. Sin is so evil that He sent His Son to bear that sin, and His Son had to suffer His wrath and die. That's what God thinks of sin. Now, sin is an infinite evil. But what a blessing it is to be a sinner. Let me repeat that. This is the gift of God's grace. You would have never known it had not God made this known to you. The hymn writer said, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. Why is it a blessing to be a sinner? That's who he chose. This man, and this was said, tried to bring him down. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He said, I came not to call the righteous, the white. He didn't come for them. I came to call sinners to repentance. And let me remind you what that repentance is. It's a change of mind with regard to how God saves sinners. That's what repentance is. You think you're saved by your works. When God saves you, He changes your mind and you see it all together in Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, I'm not talking about ex-sinners. I'm not talking about generic sinners. Here's the way Paul put it, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Not I used to be that way before God saved me. And every believer without exception, thinks that about themselves. I know me. I know me a lot better than you do. And you know yourself a lot better than I do. And I'm so thankful our hearts are not exposed to one another. Thank God for that. But Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. You see, the only ground upon which we come to Christ is that of a sinner. You don't come any other way. You don't come, well, I've conquered this sin, and I've straightened out this area in my life, and I've improved here, No, you don't come to Christ that way. A lot of people think they do, but He doesn't hear them. They're like the Pharisee. He prayed thus with himself. The prayer doesn't get any farther than the ceiling. The only way, right now, you come to Christ is as a sinner, spotted, speckled, brown. Do not ever graduate from being a sinner in your own eyes. And listen to this. It's only a sinner who's poor in spirit, who's mourns over their sin, who's meek before a holy God, who hungers and thirsts after righteousness because they know they don't have any of their own. It's the pure in heart that see the sin. The only reason you see the sin in the first place is because He's given you a new heart to see it. It's the sinner who is merciful, having experienced the mercy of God. It's the sinner who's a peacemaker. He knows the only way of peace is Christ. It's the sinner who's persecuted for righteousness' sake. He maintains that the only righteousness there is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He knows no other righteousness. You see, being a sinner is part of being a believer. And I would not in any way excuse sin in any way. I don't mean to do that, but this is just our experience. You can't experience the Beatitudes, where the Lord tells us what a believer is. Not what a believer ought to be, but what a believer is. And it's seen through being a sinner. Verse 36. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. There was a separation that took place between the white sheep and the brown and the speckled. And it took 3 days for this separation to take place. 3 days. I think you know what that refers to. Verse 37. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree. Three different trees. And he shaved the bark off, so all there was white in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods.
Why three?
These three rods, trees, branches were placed where the cattle would come to drink, and they would look on.
Why three?
Why not four?
Why not two?
Why three? How many, these are trees, how many trees, how many crosses were on Mount Calvary?
Three.
And you really only understand the cross in light of those three crosses. On two of those crosses stand the two representative men. We're all represented by either the thief that died in his sins or the thief that died unto sin. Now on this hill, Golgotha, Calvary, three crosses. We have three men. One man on the left is dying in his sin. What a horrible thing to think of. To die in your sin. And to meet a holy God in your sin. And receive the just retribution from Him for your sin. He died in His sin. On the middle of the cross, we have a man dying for sin. He had no sin of his own, but the sins of all of God's elect became his sin. And he died under the wrath of God. And I don't know how else to say this. He became guilty of the commission of those sins. It was not the innocent being punished. It was the guilty being punished because my guilt became his. Now, do you understand that? My guilt became his. God wasn't punishing the innocent. He was punishing the guilty. What a mystery. What glory. And the perfect righteousness, the whiteness of the Lord Jesus Christ is given to me. And so on that third cross, on the Lord's right, we find the man dying unto sin. His sin's been taken away. He dies in the very moment he dies. He's ushered into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a wicked man. He was an evil man. But Christ bore his sin, put it away, and he's brought right into the presence of God. Three trees, three rods, three branches. Now, I think it's very interesting that life was conceived only when these rods were looked upon. You see, the law never produces life. No spiritual life ever comes from works, from the law. It doesn't happen. But life is birthed through conceiving. Your life is conceived in seeing the meaning of those three crosses. It's when you see the one cross, the cross of Christ, you see what happened to the man without the blood of Christ, and you see what happened to the man with the blood of Christ. And it happened through looking. And this is so interesting. Those white animals would look at those three rods, and life would be conceived when they looked. And what came out? Brown, spotted, speckled animals. Do you know you won't really know and understand your sin until you see Christ? And when you look to Christ, that's when you're going to understand much more clearly that you're a sinner. Now, when the strong cattle would come, old Jacob, he was deceitful in this. When he'd see a strong cattle come up, he'd put it down and look. Then he would have the brown spotted speckled animals. And then when he'd see a weak cattle, whatever it was, he'd let them go their way and they'd come out weak. And he kept the stronger ones and gave the feeble ones to later. Now, I want us to understand this. This is not some kind of brilliant scientific way of breeding. This is a miracle of God. God caused this to happen. And Jacob became fabulously wealthy through this. You saw how Laban's sons were angry with him. Their countenance changed. I was thinking about that. I've seen people's countenance change. Well, I've been preaching the gospel. They come in excited and all of a sudden that countenance drops. I don't know how many times I've seen that. I know what Jacob felt when Laban's countenance changed toward him. But understand this, his riches. Jacob became rich through this, and this is what grace does. Our riches are in looking to Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, oh, how rich the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. Talking about rich. He's God. What else needs to be said? Yet, for your sakes, he became poor. What all that means, you will never understand. He who had angels praising became the object of ridicule. He was hated. But here's where he really became poor. He became poor in righteousness. Oh, the poverty of the Lord Jesus Christ when he bore my sin. But the reason that he could do this, bear my sin, is because of who he is. If I bore your sin, it wouldn't do you any good at all. Wouldn't do me any good at all. But if he did it, he's able to put it away and be raised from the dead, and you have this fabulous wealth. So when Moses was writing this bizarre story and Jacob is deceiving Laban and Laban is deceiving Jacob to get their cattle, if what I said is not so, the Old Testament's meaningless. This is the gospel. And I pray that you and I might see ourselves as conceived by looking to those three trees. And that's when we find out we're spotted and speckled. And that's what God uses to keep us to where all we have is Christ. And it'll never be anything else. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you would take your word and bless it according to your will for your glory. Lord, we pray for deliverance from sin. And we pray that all the time that we walk upon this earth, we might be aware of our sinfulness, to cause us to look to thy Son only as everything in our salvation. Lord, this is so beyond the strength and energy of this flesh, but we ask that you would do that for us and in us. Keep us looking to, resting in, coming to and glorying in thy Son. As we face the coming week, we ask that you would give us the grace to walk in fellowship with you through your gospel. We ask that you would open up doors for us to preach your gospel to others. Bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.